Take your Bibles tonight and turn with us to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62. Luke 9, verse 62. And the Bible says here, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Satchel Paige played Negro League baseball with several different teams, and then he went and played with the Cleveland Indians, one of the first black men to break into the majors. We hear about player Robinson, but we don't hear much about Satchel. But Satchel was in that original group. And Satchel Paige had this good rule for living. And this was his rule for living. He was a good base runner. And what he said was, don't look back. Something might be gaining on you. That's a good rule. So I want to speak tonight on whatever you do, don't look back. Just keep going forward. That a good idea? Go forward. Go forward. David Livingstone didn't look back. He went to Africa. He was a good explorer, but he also was a good missionary. And when he died over in Africa, he died on his knees. He was praying and fell dead while he prayed. He prayed hours a day. And when he died, the natives took his heart, cut his heart out of him, preserved his body in salt, but they buried his heart in Africa because when he went there, he didn't look back. Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma, now Myanmar, he didn't look back. He kept going. He did not look back. He went forward. I worked for a farmer I worked for farmers while I was in Bible college in Mayfield, Kentucky. I lived up around Marion, pastor little church, the Repton Baptist Church at Mattoon, Kentucky. And I worked in the hay fields and put up, it wasn't those big bales where you back a tractor up to it and, you know, pull it up or pick it up. It was square bales. And you talk about some of the hottest work in all the world. I had two little boys, had to take care of them and take care of my wife. And so, man, I got out there. You learn to use your knee. Pick that bale up, poof, pop it up there and put it on the trailer. Now they can't get anybody to do it. That's why you got round bales, I guess. Nobody wants to work like that. Man, I work and get up in the top of the barn. It's hot up there, Mark. And what would happen is I was taller than the other ones and I would, your head, you could blister the top of your head. Well, Eddie Hendricks was our song leader at Repton Baptist Church at Mattoon, Kentucky. And he said, I need somebody to drive a tractor. I said, I believe I can do it. I'd never driven a tractor in my life. I could take care of the wheel on a shrimp boat. I could take a sea skiff and go with it, but I didn't know about a tractor, but I believed I could do it. You know what I did? I said, I'll take the job. There were no cabs on the tractors. There was no GPS. There was no air conditioning. It was just a tractor. And this tractor had this big round thing on the side of it. It was a John Deere. And it had this big round thing on it. It went, do, 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 do. I think they used to put a belt on it and they could do all kind of stuff. And that and Eddie told me, he said, now look, you find a place down there and you go to it. And you turn around and you keep your rows straight. But don't look back. So that's easy enough. So I've picked me a place, and that old tractor, John Deere, do, 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 do. Man, I'm doing good. Made turn, came on back, do, do, do. And I felt like I might not, you know, I felt I was going straight, but I said, I know he said don't look back. I know he said don't look back. And you know what happened? Huh? I mean, I messed it up. Don't look back. You're going to mess it up. It's going to get squirrely on you. Don't look back. You know, looking back can depress you. It can. You look back at some things and it'll depress you. Don't look back. Looking back can bring defeat. I like Mr. Bolt from Jamaica, Urson Bolt. I love that fella. Been to Jamaica, I think, 3 times and preaching down there. We've shipped material in there. We've even sent it in by ship that was in one of their harbors. They had been in Mobile. We said, hey, take this. Now, Jamaica, next time we tried to do it, they said, you're going to have to register and pay tax. So they cut that out. But anyway, Mr. Bolt, he's fastest man on earth, they say. And he ran the last leg on the Jamaican relay team. And I mean, he's like a rocket or like a bolt of lightning. His last name, Bolt. And I watched him doing that. And the fella that's coming to him, he's in the last leg, fourth group. And that fella gives a signal. And Urson didn't look back. He just reached that hand back and kept moving along. And then it got in there and he took off and won for Jamaica. What would happen if you look back waiting for that baton? You're going to mess up. But we mess up all the time because we look back. We do. We got to get that baton. Which comes from the word, baton. Which we know baton rouge. A rouge is a red stick. Baton Rouge is a red stick. I remember Denise and I went through the... She's turning her head and giving me that look that you ladies give to your sweet husbands. she gives me that look. But we were in, and this is a true story, we were in the line at the bank in Cabot, Arkansas. We were on the outside lane. And the drawer had opened, and we had sent it through, Mark, to get our transaction. And I told my wife, I said, that gal in there's from Baton Rouge. And she said, how do you know? I said, look at her face. She's red all over again. She had the speaker on. I mean, her gaze cut through me all the way over to the last deal. You know what I did? Denise was driving that day. I'm so glad. I just turned my head over, looked out the window the rest of the time. You ought not do that. Oh, friends. First thing I want to see in this is don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Do you believe the Lord will forgive you? What does it mean? Well, it means He does forgive. 1 John 1 and verses 7 through 9 says this. Notice what the word says here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin. Now listen, He's talking to Christians. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do sin. We ought not. We don't want to, but we do. At home, down on the coast, we call it boogering up. I mean, sometimes I booger up. Y'all understand that terminology? That's good Southern terminology. I've boogered up a lot of time. I've boogered things up, too. But we need to confess our sins. Well, our sins are forgiven, past, present, future. Yes, they are. But as we walk through this world, we get our feet dirty and they need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. We need a clear conscience before God. Some say, well, does God really forgive sins? Yes, He does. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He does forgive all of our iniquities, and one of these days, I'll be where there's no sickness. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you believe that God forgives other sins, but not yours. My Bible teaches He forgives our sins. That means we're sinless. We are not sinless. One day we will be if you're a believer, but you're not now. And you'll agree with that if you're honest. We're not sinless. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I pastored a church right next to a dear lady out in the country. I pastored out in the old cotton rows in Arkansas. Do you know they used arsenic for poison back in the 30s? Used arsenic. That's dangerous. But that's what they did. But that's where we were at in the plains of Arkansas, just before the foothills of those earths. And the dear lady next door was a sweet lady, Ms. Williams. She belonged to a church that believed in sinless perfection. She did. She'd go out and work in her garden, had a bonnet with a big long front to it, and always wore long dress and sleeves and all of that. And she lived to be nearly 102. And I went to her house one day. Little simple house, no air conditioning, wood floors. And I sat down. I said, "Now, Ms. Williams, you told me you believe in sinless perfection." She said, Yes, I do. I said, "You believe you've come to the place of sinless perfection?" Yes, I believe I have. I said, "Now, Ms. Williams, you dip in that snuff. And that must be sin." She said, preacher. And she always had it running out of both sides. Y'all remember some of that if you're old enough. That means you're on the level. If it runs over one, you're not on the level. So. But had it running down there. She had a 3-pound coffee can. She could hit it, man. Doom, doom. She said, "Now, preacher, do you know this? Anything this good can't be seen." I said, "Miss Williams, oh my, my." But people get to believe in that. And then some get discouraged because they believe they have to live a sinless life. No, we're not sinless. We're to strive for perfection. We will make mistakes, but He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And if you're a real Christian, you'll be convicted over your sin. God has put away all sin, even the most serious. Don't look back. And then don't look back at defeats that get you down. All of us, if you're an adult here tonight, you've had a defeat in your life. There's something that has gotten you down. I've had them. You've had them. And only those who never attempt anything never make a mistake. They're the only ones that make no mistakes. A dear lady passed away in a small Missouri town. The editor was gone on vacation, and he left the sports editor in charge of the paper. And there was a dear lady, well known in the town, Miss Bertha Jones. Miss Bertha was upstanding, outstanding, as far as being a clean and moral person. But she never did anything. Never got into anything. Never got in a situation where she might make a mistake. She just didn't associate or do anything. She was just there. And this sports editor went around town saying, "How about Miss Bertha?" Well, she was a good woman. That's all we know. I mean, that was a story over and over and over again. And the sports editor said, "I don't know what I'm going to write." So he started out his obituary with this: "Miss Bertha Jones has passed away. No hits, no runs, no errors." And that's the way it'll be if you don't try anything. No hits, no runs, no errors. Sir Winston Churchill, we were talking about him today. Sir Winston Churchill said this: "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Remember what he said? Never, never, never give up. Keep going at it. Don't quit. Henry Ford. If you've never been to Dearborn and been to Greenfield Village and seen Firestone's home and those other places there, go. They've got the shop that he built the first Ford in. And if you look at it, there's bricks that are, you know how you, if you take a wall out and you put, take a window out and you put new, it never does match, does it? Well, there's bricks that do not match in this shop. You know why? The first automobile he built it, and then he said, oh no, the door's too small, I can't get it out. Had to tear the wall out to get his car out. I've known people to drive through their garage door to get out, but he had to tear the wall out to get out. But Ford said this, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligibly. Don't build your yacht in your basement. I don't know why Gibbs ever does that. If you notice what it says here in Psalm 37, 23 and 24, it says, God lifts up those who fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way, though he fall. That's what it says. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord's there. So don't get down, get up. That's the idea. Don't allow failing to make you a failure. Amen? And then don't look back at the past and see it better than it was. I wish it was like it was in the good old days. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, listen to this. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? And then he goes on to say, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. I mean, you might talk about the good old days with no air conditioning and with an attic fan trying to get some breeze through there and sleeping on top of the sheets because you're sweating, and I've been there and done that. How about going all the way back when you got the water out of the well in a bucket and you had a dipper? I don't ever remember a cup at my Aunt Dorinda and Uncle Griff's house. If you were thirsty, there was a bucket on the back porch with a gourd dip, and you dipped it in and got you something to drink. And you always left a little in there to throw it out. So that way you watched it for the next one. That was the idea. Heard the story of a woman who had that situation. A salesman came, and he, trying to sell her something, he said, ma'am, I'm thirsty. Could I have a drink? I see you've got a bucket there with a dipper. And she said, sure, go ahead. So he took and turned the dipper around and drank from the other side. Instead of this way, he took it that way and drank. And she said, son, you're the first one I've ever seen drink on the same side as you. No, is that the good old days? How about an outhouse? Man, I mean, I'm old enough to remember them. We used to go to a church camp that we had outhouses at that church camp. I mean, that's the way it was. That was it. I don't fancy going back. I really don't. I don't. Israel looked back at Egypt, didn't they? They got it, God's providing. But they look back, and Numbers 11:20 says, ye have despised the Lord which is among you and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Men, they're working like dogs, having to make bricks without straw. And they get out there and God's providing and taking them through. They want to go back to the leeks and the garlic. They eat something in West Virginia called a ramp. That'll give you the worst bad breath of anything in the world. Don't eat ramps. And they do it over there in West Virginia. That stuff's tough, man. It is. Garlic breath is sweet upside down. I'm telling you, no doubt. And another thing, distance lends to enchantment. Oh, I remember when Brother so-and-so was a pastor. Started to say Brother Jones. That's a common name, you know. But, people look back. They look back. It's always better. It's always better. Nostalgia is not quite honest. It's not. And you know what? A great future will beat a great past anytime. I'm looking for the future, not the past. Amen? And don't look back at the world, because you've got a greater future. Listen, the world will allure you, but don't look back to the world. I'm glad God has delivered me from so many wonderful things I thought. They were terrible things. And they had a hold of me. But I don't want to look back at that. I don't want to look back at the world. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a great future. And then don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter instead of better. I tell you what happens. If you rehearse old conflicts, the hurt returns. Amen. It does. So you need to let it scab over and heal. You know what? My boys were the worst about it. They'd get a bobo. Do they get bobos up here? Okay. Boo-boos. All right, boo-boos. Here we got bobos down home. Y'all got boo-boos, we got bobos. But anyway, they get a bobo. Don't scratch it, Sam. Don't scratch it. Can he stop doing it? Can he help but do it? He's got to scratch the scab off. And as soon as he does that, what's it going to do? It's going to bleed. It's going to hurt, and it's going to take it longer to heal. But if you'll quit scratching the scab off, it'll heal. If it's a bad enough wound, it'll make a scar. The scar will be there to remind you. I've got a scar right here. You can see it, can't you, Jim? Mm-hmm. That's a scar. It reminds me of something, but it doesn't hurt anymore. There's no pain to it. It reminds me that I had a 50-pound bow and an arrow, and we didn't have all the safety features I have now. And so we'd shoot fish with it and all that in the bayous, but I thought I'll just shoot an arrow at a venture, being biblical and all. And so I pulled that thing back, no guard there, and I pulled it back, and it shot me right in between the thumb and that finger. I mean, blood went. Now, you know what? It hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. I mean, matter of fact, it's harder to hurt there because it's got some extra skin instead of insulation, you can call it that. And that's good, isn't it? But I know I did it, but it doesn't hurt. You'll have scars in life. Everybody has scars, do you not? I got scars. I got emotional scars. I got mental scars. Y'all know that. But let it scab over. Let it scab over. Even those where forgiveness has taken place get dangerous again if you go and pick the scab off. We had a man in Arkansas in the church who always, if you went to visit him at his home, he told about his problems over at Greenwood Baptist Church. Hadn't been a member there in 20 years. Well, preacher, I can't get over it. Finally, I told him, Mr. McCroskey, I'm not coming back to hear you tell the same old story anymore. You need to get over it and move on. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's the way you do. Amen. It's the best way to do. Forget about it. And then don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think you've arrived. He said, now you've been building us up, and then you're going to let us down. Well, Philippians 1, or chapter 3, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I hadn't quite got a hold of it yet. He said, I'm not there. You know, I meet some people along the way that think they're it. Now, I'm not talking about from the Adams family, but I mean, they think they've made it. Amen? They do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Look at this. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm moving on. I am not there yet, so I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You know something? That's what I want. How about you? I want to just keep pressing on. I don't want to stop. Press on. Don't say, well, I used to serve the Lord with my whole heart. That was once upon a time. No, serve Him now. I once cared about souls. I read a beautiful post today about Sarah Doherty and how she had left a track at a coffee place, and usually they throw it away, and a fellow just sheepishly had sat there for about 10 minutes. Some of y'all may have read it. And finally a fellow picked it up and he read it. And then he kept it. Listen, don't give up. Keep going. Keep serving. Be sold out for the Lord. And look unto Jesus. For the Bible says, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what we're to do. Amen? Can you run a race looking back and win? You can't. A little boy was in Sunday school. Teacher was teaching about Lot and Lot's wife. And the teacher said, Lot's wife, look back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. The little boy said, that ain't nothing. My mama looked back and she turned into a telephone pole. So don't look back. Press on. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep looking. Up and forward. Looking back doesn't help you a bit. Amen?